It's time for the fifth quarter with analysis, game stars, all-access locker room interviews, and more. The fifth quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them.
Brown from the gun, takes the shotgun snap, under pressure, and he's down in a sack. Great job there by the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and getting through was Herdman Reed. On the line, they'll throw the hit screen to Tevin Jones, a former Jacksonville Jag. Lost the ball, and it's scooped up by the Bombers, because Castillo left for the Elks, and that one is right through the pipes. And the Bombers have a 3-0 lead on the Quality Tire scoreboard. Here's Prukop going deep down the left side for Bailey, and he made the catch. Prukop will work under center with Simpson, the lone setback. They hand it off to Simpson, and he's stopped in the backfield. Backpedaling, though, at his 8, losing it is Rutledge Jr. He was the last guy to touch it, but uh-oh, the Bombers will start back at their 3. Charm Prokop throws. Where is he throwing that? He threw it to the Dairy Queen. Nobody's there. Guys in line ordering a blizzard, and he got hit in the head. Incomplete. The two-time defending Grey Cup champion Winnipeg Blue Bombers 3, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders nothing. Snap from his center, pushes to the goal line. Don't see a signal. Now we do. Touchdown, Winnipeg. And they extend the lead to 10-0, and now Brown's going to celebrate a 1-yard touchdown dive. Hadle by himself to the left in motion. They fake it out to the running back, rolling to his right as Williams throws out in the flats. That's caught over there by Riley Borsma. Little dip and dive, and look at the young kid. Shotgun snap for Williams. Williams throws over the middle. That pass is caught. What a great catch by Rhea as he was popped. Nell missed from 35, this from 46 in the right hash. The kick is up, and this one is good. He's going deep down the right sideline.
There you go.
Busted coverage, and this will be a walk-in touchdown for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And he's going to look to his left, and he's going to throw the corner route. Jump ball. It's caught. Touchdown, Saskatchewan. Drifts to his left at the 30-yard line. Takes it on the numbers on the far side. Stutter step. Trying to come this near side. 35, 40, 45, 50. Midfield. Bomber 50. Back inside 40. 35 to the 28-yard line. No penalty flags.
This is a great job by number 17.
He's got Cooper in the backfield. Fakes the handoff to Cooper. Play action pass all day. Throws sideline. It's caught. It's a Saskatchewan touchdown! Dooley Aristel Jr. takes the snap. Number 12, the quarterback, throwing to the right to the end zone, and that is caught for the touchdown. And here's Dolagala to throw. Sidesteps the rush. Throws off his back foot. A high one is intercepted. This one is intercepted. And bringing this one back the other way into Rider territory is the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, Javon Jackson. And that'll put the wraps on this one as Dolagala dodged the rush but threw off his back foot too high. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers, 25, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, 16.
Perfection.
Is over. Now we're breaking down the game. The fifth quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Quarter post-game show here from Harbor Studio 620. Want to recognize some sponsors, Sask Lotteries, the Capital Auto Mall, and Borgo Industries. We're coming to you from the McDougall Auctioneers Broadcast Center here. Best in the bidding business, McDougallAuction.com. On set here with Luke Molitor. Luke, 25-16, Riders lose. I mean, I don't get too wrapped up in scores. I thought the Riders performed better as the game went along, but we do have some concerns. There's no doubt about it.
Is going to be a concern. And again, the reason why that is, and I say that, is because the veteran guys that we brought in at that right tackle position. I mean, the best one of them, in my opinion, was Tony Champion, and he didn't play near as many snaps as Natae Rogers and Jamal Campbell. So, again, I think that that's still undeclared, and that's a position we'd like to declare, right? It's pretty crucial. I mean, again, we don't know what Taron Vaughn's health is like right now, and Logan Ferland, unfortunately, has already been knocked out. So, again, that's a concern because that's something that everybody was sort of focused on coming into camp.
Did you expect to see more to this point, not just this game, but in camp from Natae Rogers, the right tackle, absolutely. And Jamal Campbell, who came over as a free agent signing from the Argos?
Absolutely. Yeah, I thought that between the two of them, you were going to get a really good, solid competition, you know, back and forth, but it hasn't transpired yet, and maybe they're getting used to the system still, right? Everybody's always talking about how Jason Moss has this complicated playbook, but those guys have been around the league long enough to be able to catch on to playbooks pretty quickly. Again, you and I have talked in past shows about the fact that once you're a veteran, the names of the X's and O's don't change, but the X's and O's, right, they're just, they're muddled. So again, they've got to get better.
You mentioned it a couple of times in this broadcast, and I wanted to bring this up. A couple of the local guys I thought fared pretty well. Kyle Borsa, I mean, you're only as good as the offensive line in front of you. He had a nice run. He had some negative runs. He had a nice catch, too. By negative runs, I mean he was tackled in the backfield. Mm. And then Riley Borsma made a couple of nice plays. He did have the alligator arm one, but for the most part, the young guy out of the Regina Rams did well, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we've talked about this as well. I've always been really impressed with how prepared guys from the U of R come into camp. Mm-hmm. And this year was no different watching Borsma. Reminds me a lot of the things that Mitch Pickton has done since he's been in camp for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders a couple times. So, again, testament to the good coaching that they're obviously getting to prepare them to perform the way they are.
I did recognize, and you pointed it out, Nelson Lacombo in the corner of the end zone. I think it was a pass to Bailey. He was right there step for step. Nelson Lacombo and his time looked good, and it looks like he got through the game healthy, which is key for him.
Yeah, huge opportunity for Nelson Lacombo, right? Because, again, we don't know where that seventh Canadian is going to end up being. I don't think it's going to be Charbel DeBeer, just being honest. But Lacombo, one of the things that we noticed about his defensive stand, it was a man defense that he was playing in. And
he's stronger in zone. He's strong in zone and not so much in man, but he looked good there.
Well, that's when you asked around when Lacombo got drafted, hey, like what type of guy did the Riders just get? That was some of the feedback. Hey, he's really strong in zone, but he struggles in man. Well, the play that he made very early on, that was man defense, right? And he had some help from the safety, but if the safety hadn't been there, he still would have played that well. So, again, with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders trying to identify where they're going to put their seventh Canadian, he played well today.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we're going to take a break and be back with more of the fifth quarter postgame show. You're listening to the Co-operators Rough Rider Radio.
TA Today.
From locker room interviews to the coaches' comments, this is your all-access postgame pass. The fifth quarter on the Co-operators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Welcome back to the fifth quarter postgame show. Ballsy along with Luke Molliner. And we want to tell you that this segment of the postgame show is brought to you by our friends at Regina Plumbing and Heating, Sastel, and Young's Equipment. All right, we are going to go downstairs. Apparently, we've got Coach Craig Dickinson joining us here, so that's great. Craig Dickinson downstairs with us. Coach, your thoughts on this football game, 25-16 loss to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
You know, I thought we'd play a little bit better, Michael, to be honest with you. You know, the score, I told the guys this too, I think the score flattered us a little bit. We really weren't in it till the end there. And, you know, and they brought a very low-number squad. So, I kept it real with the team. I said, I think we're better than what we showed. I think we've got to clean up a few things. We've got to take better care of the football. I thought we gave it away too much. But for the most part, I was proud of the effort. And there's going to be good film to watch, and we'll do some evaluating and go from there.
Luke and I would we be wrong in our concern about the offensive line? We know you got to kind of, for lack of a better way of putting it, put Taron Vaughn on a pitch count because he's just coming back from injury. Logan Ferland's had a bit of issues. I'll be honest with you, Coach. I was looking for more from the Ty Rogers and Jamal Campbell early on in camp. I'm not an offensive lineman. I'm just a 5'8" guy that never played on the line. But just your thoughts on the performance of some of those guys in that offensive line.
Yeah, well, we messed one up early. I know the Ty, he's supposed to squeeze down on that first hit that Mason took. So we had a mental mistake on that. Outside of that, you know, to be honest with you, I felt like we did a decent job getting off the ball as an offensive line. I thought we ran the ball fairly well. But you're right, the quarterbacks were having to move a little bit and have some guys in their face. So we'll look at the film and go from there. But that first pressure early in the game, the Ty's supposed to squeeze that down, and he didn't. And that was a tough start for the game, that's for sure.
Coach, you've alluded to the fact that you haven't seen the game film, obviously, so it's a tough question to ask. But what's your evaluation sort of first thing when it comes to these quarterbacks?
I thought they did a decent job, to be honest with you. I thought the rhythm was at times not great, but, you know, we only punted 3 or 4 times. We just turned the ball over too much, Luke. So I got to watch the film. You know, we played so many guys tonight that it's really hard to say, you know, what each quarterback did. But yeah. I didn't think they lost the game. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah, and the second piece of that, Coach, is the running backs. I felt like Hickson and Morrow and I felt the guys really ran hard today. What did you think?
Yep, I agree. I thought that was the bright spot is those three running backs, Cooper,
yeah,
Hickson, and J-Mo. And then it was nice to see Emulus, you know, the draft choice, make a play there. He's got some skills. You could see it. You could see it when he caught that ball. And then and we made a play there late to get us back in the game. So I was proud. I thought our guys, especially in the second half, a couple guys stepped up and made a few plays. But we need more guys to do that to win games in this league.
I want to talk about some of the local guys, okay? Like Lacombo in man coverage, it looked like there. Made a great play down in the end zone there, the north end zone. And then Riley Borsma, he had one over the middle. He maybe should have. I mean, you're coming over the middle. You might as well put your body on the line because you're going to hear it from the coaches if you don't. But other than that, I thought he played a pretty good game as well. A couple local guys there.
I agree with you. Nelson's, what you saw today is what we've seen all camp. He's been outstanding. He's been on a pitch count a little bit coming off that Achilles, but he can run with anybody. I think he can play a number of positions in the secondary, and I think he's got a real future in the CFL, that's for sure. Borsma, first game, and you know, professional game, and I thought he did fine. You know, he missed one, you're right, but he also made a play up the sideline there where he got it and got some extra yards. So I'm proud of those two guys. Those two guys showed well tonight.
What do you think of your special teams? Nell missed a makeable 35-yard field goal, but then he made a nice 46-yarder. You came back, and then Jonathan Johnson with a nice punt return that set you guys up. That was a nice little shimmy and shake, and then he got the edge.
Yeah, that was good. You know, we need to find a returner. That's one thing we do need to do. You know, I thought Pope, honestly, would have a little better game. He struggled because he's got some juice, but he struggled catching the ball, and that's not good. But Johnson looked good on that last one. And then, like I said, Nell's been good all camp. Even that first kick, he hit it really well. It just hooked on him late. So we'll see if we can take him to BC. I don't know if we can, but Henry Nell's a good football player, and I think he can kick in this league, if not for us, for somebody.
Coach, former defensive lineman, obviously I got to ask you this. What do you think of your guys up front on the defensive side?
Just okay, to be honest with you. I didn't sense that we were in the backfield. First of all, that quarterback for Winnipeg can really run, can he? That Drew Brown? We had trouble containing him, so he makes life tough. You know, it's hard for a quarterback to last 18 games when he plays that way, but man, he can make you look silly in a couple, and that's what he did. He scrambled. I bet you he rushed for over half their yards.
Coach,
so I don't know. I have to see it, but I think our D-line can play better than they did.
I know you're busy, Coach. So one last thing here. Can you change much up? Yeah, some personnel maybe, but can you change much up? Do you change much up? Because you don't get a lot of practice time between this game and the one in Vancouver on Friday.
Yeah, the answer is no. I mean, there's only really one day. We're going to run them down tomorrow, try to get their legs back a little bit, and then we got to walk through on Thursday. So it is, you know, it's tough playing them this close together, but, you know, hopefully hopefully we got some guys that are just a little nicked up and the injury report is not too long, and then we'll go to BC and hopefully play a little better. That's the goal, is to improve from game one to game two.
Coach, thanks for your time, man. We'll talk soon.
You betcha. Thanks, fellas.
That's Coach Craig Dickinson, and his comments are brought to you by our friends at KFC. Take the game to the next level with KFC. Try their famous chicken sandwich, hot and crispy, in classic or spicy. KFC, it's finger licking good. Just before we go to break, Luke, just your thoughts on Coach. I always love his honesty, and to be quite honest with you, I know it's preseason, but he seemed kind of disappointed in his team.
Yeah, Coach was he's always pretty forthright. And again, I appreciated his candor about the offensive line, for instance. It's always good to hear him give that assessment, especially without watching the film, because it's really easy for a coach to just say, well, you know, I have to watch the film. Right, but he never does. He tries to give a basic assessment based on what he saw. So, I wasn't surprised though that he wasn't as happy as he would have liked to be. And we're gonna see a lot more experience hitting the field on Friday. So hopefully he sees it there.
Hey, I just got from Ryan McNally, our producer upstairs. Hopefully you can do this. Let's try to go to Jake Dolagala, who's at the podium right now. If we can do that.
See the corner coming down. So he gave me a lot of great insights, but also when you do that, you don't try to overthink it too much. And Cody does a great job at balancing, going out there and playing, but also here's a little bit of what I'm seeing, and then don't think too much, just go out there and play. And he did a great job helping me out. And I think you could see that kind of change in the second half, just getting those little tips and calming us down and saying positive. You know, so it's great to have someone like Cody in the room.
When you flipped to number two on the depth chart late last season, a lot of people didn't expect that to happen. Did that help you going into the offseason knowing that you've got a real legitimate shot to be the number two to prepare for this opportunity?
Yeah, I think, you know, at the end of last year, it was unexpected for me also. You know, I didn't expect it, but I just waited for my opportunity and seized it when it came. And like I said earlier, I just control what I can control. But yeah, going into the offseason, I talked to J.O. and Moss, and they felt good about, you know, my development and wanted me to continue to make those jumps. So yeah, you go into the offseason with a little bit more confidence, but you still got to make those jumps and those strides that these coaches want to see. And like I said, in training camp, hopefully I've showed that. And in this preseason game, like I said, there's some bad things that I did and there's some good things. So we'll take that. I'll learn from the bad and try to, get better this next game.
What's it like knowing that you have to give the ball to the running backs because they're trying to show what they can do? You have to get the receivers showcase what can you do. Does that put pressure on you a little bit so you know these other guys are also fighting for jobs?
Yeah, at the end of the day, everyone's fighting for a job, but when you go into the game, you can't think too much about trying to get specific guys the ball here and there. Coach is going to give you a play, and you execute that play to the best of your ability. It goes back to not trying to do too much, just go, having great feet and going through your reads and making those right progressions. If you try to get a ball here and there to someone specifically, you're going to mess up, and coaches don't want to see that. Coaches want you to play within the offense and move the ball up and down the field. So that's what you really have to focus on and not try to get too caught up in that.
It was probably more nerve.
Right, that is actually Mason Fine down in the locker room and not Jake Dolagala. We have our offensive game star waiting, so we're going to take a break and come back with our offensive game star, Jester Wea. This is the fifth quarter postgame show from Harvard Studio 620 on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio.
.com.
Rider Radio lives at 620 CKRM on Facebook, on Twitter, and in the sports cage at 620CKRM.com.
Make sure you're writing down our game stars and listen to the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable with our friends Daniela Ponticelli, Wes Cates, and the Professor Don Hewitt. Your chance to win a special blend by Weiser's gift pack. We pick an offensive and a defensive game star, and our game star selections brought to you by Johnson's Grain. For all your grain marketing and crop input needs, visit johnsonsgrain.com. Let's go down to the locker room and talk with Jester Wea. How are you, Mr. Wea?
I'm doing great. How you doing, sir?
Doing, man. I'm doing great. So, how was your first experience in a CFL, Canadian Football League, three down, motion everywhere game?
It was fun. I mean, had a lot of fun out there. But unfortunately, we didn't come out with the W, but still had a lot of fun out there.
Yeah, I mean, you want to win. It is preseason, so that's not so much a worry. What a worry is to make the football team, and you're on a loaded receiving core, but I thought you played a great game. My favorite catch of the day was the one where you're coming over the middle and the guy unloaded on you just as you caught the football. Just talk about that play.
Yeah, just coming across the field, I knew, I believe it was T. Will that threw the ball. I had to catch the ball to get the first down. I didn't really see the guy coming from behind. But, you know, make sure the as my job as a receiver is to make sure I catch the ball and hold on to it.
Well, and you did a great job there. So, did you do you have a special chemistry with any of those quarterbacks? Like, I know Cody's the number one guy, but, mm-hmm. you know, you probably run with the twos and the threes a lot. Do you have a better chemistry with Dolagala, Fine, or T. Will, as you like to call him, Troy Williams?
Yeah, I mean, over the past couple of weeks in camp, I feel like we definitely built that chemistry. And, you know, we're just getting better each and every day.
Yeah, so what do you like best about our game? Is it the motion? Is it the tarmac of the end zone? I mean, in the NFL, you're 10 yards, you're running out the back. Then you look and you got another 10 yards. It seems like you're running on an airport runway a lot of times.
Yeah, the end zone is definitely huge compared to NFL. But, I mean, one thing I really like about this game is just the ability for receivers to use the waggle.
And it comes to the CFL game versus the game you grew up playing at Pitt and in the NFL, what was the hardest adjustment for you?
Just, you know, trying to time up the waggle, getting comfortable with the motions, and, you know, just making sure I can go out there and just play free and have fun.
I wanted to ask a guy that's new to this league, trying to figure it out. You only get two preseason games, and I don't know how it goes from here, if you get in the next game or if this was your chance. How tough is it to make a CFL team coming up here learning this game on the fly?
I think it's very tough. I mean, like, I'm learning new stuff each and every day. Each and every day counts. Every rep counts, so you got to make the most of your opportunity.
Yeah, Jester, what do you think your best attribute is as a receiver?
I would say my size and my speed.
How long have you been playing football for, if you don't mind me asking?
I started playing football my sophomore year in high school.
Oh, so you were a late bloomer. What got you into the game of football?
I remember going in the summer, heading into my sophomore year. A couple of my best friends, they had to, like, serve suspensions for basketball season, and, like, they had to serve it playing a fall sport, and football was one of the options. And I didn't want to be stuck at home not doing anything, so I had to forge a signature to get equipment for my mom. had to forge her signature to get equipment, and the rest is history.
Well, worse you could have forged a signature for.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's okay, man. So you feeling pretty good about yourself after this game? You have to be. You had a great game, I thought. And if this is the only chance you get to impress the coaches, I think you did a great job. I know Coach mentioned you on the post-game show here.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, yeah, I feel like I just got to keep on improving and getting better, honestly. I mean, like I said before, each and every day counts, so you got to make the most of your opportunity.
One other question I was going to ask you. As a receiver, an American receiver, who did you look up to since you were a late bloomer? You come from Pittsburgh. That's the home of Larry Fitzgerald, man, Pitt Panther.
Yes, sir. Larry Fitzgerald, he's one of the greats. Jerry Rice, Randy Moss, Julio Jones, the list goes on.
Yeah.
Actually, Jess, were you down at Pitt when Pat Narduzzi was there then?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, nice. Coach Narduzzi. He's a Michigan State guy, Ballsy.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. That's good, man. That's good. Hey, Jester, thanks a lot, man. You're our offensive game star. Hopefully it works out for you making this football team, because I really like your competitive spirit and your athleticism. Good job, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate you guys.
Jester, we are offensive game star. We're awaiting our defensive game star. And when we have him, we'll get to it in a second here. Is our defensive game star is going to be David Kinney, not Jason Kenny, as we called him a couple of times. But because you remember Jason Kenny with a spin move. Well, Jason Kenny has pulled off a couple of spin moves.
Spun himself right out of office.
Right out of a job. But David Kenny was a guy that we called a few times in the broadcast at number 79.
I'll tell you what. I mean, we came in there, and you were kind of looking for the usual suspects. Pete Robertson, who had a decent game, and obviously Keon Adams, who we've talked about playing that sort of hybrid linebacker / DN role. But every time we looked up, the guy that was mixed up in the action was Kenny. And One of the things that I really liked about him is his willingness to do the physical aspect of the football game, right? And he was taking on blocks well, but clearly also knows the playbooks, and understood what the coaches wanted him to do coming in. And the other thing I liked is that that was a guy that was taking advantage of an opportunity. It didn't matter when he was in. As you know, the game was out of reach in that last few seconds, and he was still out there pushing guys around, making plays. That's a guy that wants to make the football team.
Absolutely, man. Hey, your thoughts on Charbel DeBeer. You just said you didn't think he'd be the seventh Canadian. He did lose some weight trying to improve his cardio and pick up that aspect of the game. Yeah. He was 330 or right around there last year, according to him. Did the weight loss affect him, do you think, tonight?
No, I think Charbel's still got a long way to go in terms of just understanding the game. There was a couple times where physically he was doing the right thing, but he let, you know, for instance, he was jumping into the wrong gap because he was trying to make a play. He was pushing himself a little bit. So, again, I think that Charbel DeBeer is still a year away from maybe pushing for considerable playing time. And the problem there is that does he have a year? That's the question, right?
Yeah.
Because this team really looks like it's headed towards going to two interior defensive tackles that are American. And that was what you and I talked about
coming into this game.
And in Saskatoon is, hey, where are the Canadians going to be playing? And Charbel DeBeer came in here with a real opportunity. If he would have made a few plays today, that might have convinced Coach Dickinson and the rest of the crew, say, hey, okay, you know what? This seventh Canadian can remain on this interior defensive front.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about that for a second. Where do you see the Canadians? So let's go through this. You got Dan Clark, Canadian.
Yeah.
Evan Johnson, who I didn't think had a spectacular game today, but he's also coming off illness and he missed some of camp.
Yeah, but we got to stop making excuses for Evan Johnson.
Yeah. So Evan Johnson is going to be in there. You're hoping it's Logan Ferland because, you know, he's been injured, but hopefully Logan Ferland. So that's three.
Yep.
You got, we were looking at Micah Tights at four, but he's out for six games, right?
You got
McInnes.
Schaefer Baker,
so that's five.
Yep.
Mike Adam is six.
Yep.
Who's your seventh Canadian?
Well,
where's your seventh Canadian going?
So right now,
do you dress Emelis?
No, right now, I think it's Lacombo.
Ah, good point.
Right, because if you look at sort of the makeup of the team, where it's headed, and where, more importantly, they put Damon Webb in on the roster, I think that Lacombo's got a good chance to really push. And again, you can obviously tell that Coach Dickinson's really high on him.
Right.
Right? And I think that if he continues to develop, like, let's see if they give him that opportunity in this second game in BC, where there's going to be a lot more experience on the Lions side of the ball too, right?
Is it a danger though to put a rookie at it's not a true field corner anymore because of the hash marks. You can't really, you know, like we talked about when you're first a coach in minor football, you put the guy at wide receiver and wide side corner because the ball's never going to go out there, and they learn the game, they don't get hurt.
Yeah.
I'm not dumbing it down for now.
That's only there because the parents getting free.
So in the old CFL, you put that. You put that other matchup way out on the field, it's not so dangerous, right? Mm. I'm not saying Lacombo can't do it, but he's young, he's coming off an Achilles, and that's a lot to throw on a guy right away.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. I really don't think it's going to be DeBeer. It's not going to be Tights, obviously.
No, he's hurt.
Head, right? And when you look at the makeup of the roster, your depth guys are Deathier. Right. There's a couple Canadian guys that could be depth guys, so it makes sense that it might be Adam and Lacombo. I see what you're saying about Emelis, but if you put Emelis on, who are you taking off?
Yeah, who are you taking
right?
off?
Right? And it's not going to be, unless it's Robertson.
Well, I mean, I like Paul McRoberts.
Robertson,
I like Paul McRoberts Jr., but today, Mr. Reliable went through his hands. It was picked off.
Yeah.
And Coach wasn't exactly, now I don't want to read too much into Coach, but he wasn't exactly jumping through the radio when I got his, when I got his thoughts on McRoberts yesterday.
Well, they haven't ever jumped through the radio. This guy's been on the team for a while now, and they've never really been high on him.
Yeah.
So is it a guy like Emelis, right? And that's also where your depth is. If you're thinking about, okay, if Emelis, because that's the question you have to ask yourself. Yeah. Well, if Emelis starts, who's backing them up, and you have guys like Pickton. Right? So
you could do that.
So maybe that's the option. But that's where
good today.
That's where I think it is. It's either I think that choice A right now is Lacombo.
Yeah.
And choice B is Emelis.
These two football teams today, my hat's off to them, because I do not want to see a CFL where it turns into a lineman league and a bunch of backups for Canadians.
Yeah.
The Bombers are committed to a Canadian at running back, and they have been for a long time.
Yes.
Augustine wasn't here. Oliveira wasn't here. Borse is in the mix. And then we here in Saskatchewan have a plethora of Canadian receivers, we're committed to playing them, and they're good too.
Yeah, I don't know what film J.O. was watching when he was a player, but he was clearly watching wide receiver film because he never misses on Canadian
receivers.
But
that's where football's going, both sides of the border. Quarterbacks, receivers. That's where it's going. Those are the guys who are making the money, like in the States. And of course, you need the alignment to keep your quarterback upright, right?
There you go.
Anyway, we're going to take a break, hopefully catch up with our defensive star, David Kenny, on the other side. This is the fifth quarter post-game show, and it's brought to you by our friends at Regina Plumbing and Heating, SaskTel, Young's Equipment, Seedmaster, The Wireless Age, your SaskTel authorized dealer. We'll be back in a moment on the Cooperators, Rough Rider, Radio.
You're on Instagram. The battle is over. Now we're breaking down the game. The fifth quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Welcome back to the fifth quarter post-game show. Still awaiting our defensive game star. I'm not sure we'll get him. David Kenny. Now he's big time. Hey, here's another guy I wanted to talk about tonight, and he deserves to be mentioned. Jaden Dahlke, the number 38 draft pick for the Riders out of the U of A, was a CanWest All-Star last year and second team All-Canadian for U Sports. Man, he was good tonight. He made some good plays in the secondary. He came up on that run by the quarterback, Brown, and almost took his head off.
Yeah, he was trying to – he approached that with violent intentions.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I mean, that's Dahlke, Defier. Those are the guys that make Lacombo starting more of a realistic thought, because you're starting to see some guys, okay, well, you know what? We can bring Adam. We can bring, right? And there's guys that can help us in the
crunch.
That's
what I like about the Canadian ratio. Help me out here. I like this. I like it's a thinking man's game. You got to build the roster in the offseason, and you got to build it in-game and while the game's moving. Now, I know that's why we kind of got that Flex American next year, which I don't know if I'm pro or con with it, but they talk about roster flexibility. But I like the fact, hey, okay, we can do Lacombo because now we got Defier and we got Dahlke, right?
Exactly, and it's a chess game, right?
Yeah.
And I think the ratio promotes that chess game aspect. Today, what we saw is, if Lacombo started next year in 2023, right? Yeah, okay. It wouldn't be as hard of a decision because you could just throw one of your Americans that you love so much into the game to sub for Lacombo.
Yep.
But yeah, I agree. You, Tressman, it's playing that ratio and how you have to manipulate your actual roster that all goes into it. And that's why we've gotten this narrative over time about the best teams and the championship teams always have the best Canadians. And it's because of that, because you always have to figure how to get the most out of your Canadians.
So I tell you guys and girls to come watch U Sports and junior football. You see some really good talent for inexpensive money, and that's why that football weekend in Saskatchewan, September 16th, Riders and the Elks, September 17th, the Thunder and the Hilltops, then a concert in the park here, and then the Rams and the Huskies. You get to see the Borsmas, the Borsas, and those kind of guys.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because again, that was the Borsmas out there today.
Yes.
Those were the Canadians that were out there making plays. Those were the Canadians that were out there that were prepared to compete. So all this nonsense about, the Americans need to save the Canadian Football League. Oh, if we need new fans, they're going to want to see the best player. That's nonsense. Look what we saw out there today.
And, Luke, how many fans were here to watch Borsa and Borsma and Lacombo? You know what? There's Husky, there's Ram guys here.
Those guys were spending money on tickets.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't have any money in their bank account
That's what I'm saying.
Compton family.
Hey, let's go downstairs and talk to our defensive game star, David Kenny. David, how are you, my friend?
Great, brother. How about yourself?
Good. I can't actually hear him here in my headset. I'm not sure what's going on. David?
Yes, sir.
What did you think of your first taste of CFL football?
Can they hear me now? Okay. I liked it, honestly. The game's a little bit faster than, the American game. I loved it, though. Just being out there with my teammates for the first time was truly a blessing, and honestly wish we could have won it, but we have a lot to build off of.
What did you think of the yard off the ball, David?
At first it was a little bit of a learning curve, but if you want to stick around in this league, you kind of gotta find a way to adapt. I've always seen that a lot of guys were good down south and they think that they could come up here and just kill it immediately, but it's a different game, but it is the same game, so guys that can adapt fast are going to be up here a while.
Did you, David, know much about the CFL before you came up here?
No, sir, not really. Not really, but my first year was in 2019. I was on a practice squad with Winnipeg.
That's right. Yeah, I knew that. And so now you're here. You got your feet wet. I kind of noticed a little bit of that. As the game went on, it kind of slowed down for you. Made a really nice play right at the end of the ball game there, busting through the line. So it seemed like the game kind of slowed down for you as it went along. Your thoughts on how you did tonight and how that might bode for you going forward?
I can't complain at all. Just being here in itself and just given the opportunity from the Saskatchewan Roughriders to just put on a jersey and go out there and do what I love to do is just truly a blessing. So, but as far as my performance, I had a lot of fun out there. Wish we would have won, but like I said, we have a lot to build off of going into Friday against BC. So I think we have a great defense and a great team, and I see us winning the Grey Cup this year.
Talk to me about any individual sort of goals you came in here with today. What were a couple things that you knew you wanted to do? It could have been just get off the ball, right?
Yes, sir.
Talk to me about that.
Individual goals, I obviously want to get sacks,
Yeah.
So, always going to the game, just wanting to get after the quarterback. And the three guys to the left of me also make it pretty easy to get free because those guys are really, really talented. And they free me up on a lot of one-on-ones. So I just wanted to get some sacks, honestly.
Yeah, no,
I just wanted to get some sacks.
That's perfect, man. I mean, you had that little spin move that freed up Herdman Reed at the end.
Yep.
Talk about the communication. I mean, do you feel like you're a little bit in sync with the linebacking core? Because that's the hardest thing. I know you came in this league in 2019, but
yes, sir.
I mean, it took me a while as a former player to understand really what the linebackers in the secondary were doing. You feel like you're getting there?
Slowly but surely, our linebacking core does a great job of communicating. They actually told me to go B-gap, so I was already kind of thinking that just because the offensive tackle was kind of making me drift out a little bit, so I kind of already had a spin move coming under anyway in mind. So it was just a great thing that it actually happened, and I wanted the sack, obviously, but I wanted it. But at the same time, I was just as happy as him getting the sack and us getting off the field because they were driving it a little bit. So I was a little winded myself. So that sack was great.
Hey, thanks for your time, David. I really appreciate it. We enjoyed watching you. And, hey, man, I hope you make this squad because you're a great interview and you're a pretty good football player. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me, guys.
That's our defensive star, David Kenny. We'll be back with more of the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show. By the way, I should tell you that this segment of the show is brought to you by Redhead Equipment, Western Ag Professional Agronomy, Bronc Beer, Last Spike Brewery, CAA Insurance, AgCo, and The Tap. This is the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show from the Harvard Studio 620 on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio.
locker room interviews to the coaches' comments. This is your all-access post-game pass. The Fifth Quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
And wherever you're listening today, thanks for making us part of your day. We really appreciate it. Still to come, our Sports Cage Radio Roundtable with Daniela Ponticelli, along with Don Hewitt and our friend Wes Cates. By the way, Daniela did a great job her first time in the shoot here, doing the pregame show sidelines. I thought she was flawless. She was better than I did my first time doing it.
Well, I was going to say, look.
Oh, Daniela, you were going to say, I agree?
Daniela did an amazing job, especially on the on the pre- and post-game show. But, man, dude, in front of Rider Nation, you killed it today, man. Great job. Way to fight through the adversity with your with your vocal cords.
Well,
we're going to have to get you some honey.
Well, here's the thing. So 2019.
We're going to be so bougie by the time this season. I need my tea and honey.
2019. Yeah, Celine Dion, My Heart Should Go On, or whatever the hell that song is. Listen. In 2019, I called a Rams game. In 2020, all hell broke loose. There's a pandemic. In 2021, I'm like, you know what? I'm not doing the games. I want to go watch my son down south.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't go down south because everything was locked down, but I didn't do any games. And I went on the Wolf in the mornings. Well, I get 2 minutes to talk at a time, and half of it Chad McDonald takes. So I only got 1 minute at a time. And then I'm calling. I'm like, holy cow, I'm not used to this. So that, God it was. Yeah. Thank God it was a crappy game for a lot of it.
You know what, though? You're right, because one of the first things I realized, I remember my first 8 o'clock game.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, oh, yeah, it's, so I was just up, right?
Yeah.
Like after the second half began, I felt myself falling asleep, and I was like, man. And then from that point on, I was like, you know what? These late games, I always got to take a nap.
Got to take a nap.
Yeah. Now I'm just old and always want to take a nap. So it's just.
Well, I slapped you on the back, said good job. You're like, man, that hurt.
Yeah.
Well,
dude, what do you do? Man, you got to take it easy, man.
What are you doing? All right. Any other thoughts, just in general, on what you saw here in today's football?
It's got to get better. It's got to get better. Sure. And again, you know, I'm getting some response via text from a couple of friends.
Yeah.
You know, saying, hey, you know, go easy on the right tackles. They're new guys. No, they're not.
No.
Matai Rogers has been in the league 4 years.
Yeah, he's Montreal.
Jamal Campbell got into the league in 2016.
Yeah.
They're not new guys. They needed to be better. And so now, what you want to see is you want to see the guys that you know are already on the team. Right, you want to see you can, and now you want to see the little things that Coach Dickinson talked about, right? Like timing, game flow, effort. Those things need to come alive in BC.
Yeah,
this is a pressure cooker situation. As soon as week one hits, man, the Grey Cup is in Regina.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Okay, we'll take a break and be back to wrap up in a moment. This is the Fifth Quarter, and this segment is brought to you by our friends at Cooperator. See Chris Olson at Olson Insurance Group in Saskatoon. Spreads.ca and Young's Equipment. By the way, if you did drive in from anywhere today, I looked at the gas today, and if I didn't have diabetes, I'd have to turn in one of my kidneys.
Man.
It's $1.95 a liter. So anybody that drives in, spends their gas. I know my buddy Corey came in from Estevan.
Yeah.
He's driving back. That's not a. That's an investment in time and now cash, man.
My buddy had twins 2 years ago, and he's down to one kid now because he needed to make a road trip and had to sell one of his kids to do it.
Take the one that doesn't make its bed. Anyway, we'll be back with more of the Fifth Quarter postgame show from Harvard Studio 620 on the Cooperators Rough Rider.
Youngs.ca.
From locker room interviews to the coaches' comments, this is your all-access postgame pass. The Fifth Quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Longest coverage in the CFL is right here on the Rough Rider Radio Network, presented by Cooperators. Coming up from our main studios downtown Regina, it'll be Daniela Ponticelli, Don Hewitt, and our buddy Wes Cates, Plaza of Honor inductee. I believe, is it 2017? I think I'm right when I say that. Anyway, they'll be joining us and taking your calls. A reminder, write down the game stars, Jester Wea. And David Kenny, a couple of newcomers. Hopefully they're here for the long haul. You present those names when Daniela calls for them, and you'll win a special Blend by Wiser's gift pack if she picks you. This portion of the postgame show brought to you by Sask Lotteries and Redhead Equipment. Just want to wrap it up here. Final score 25-16. The Riders now will get a rundown tomorrow. Basically one day of practice there in Vancouver Friday. A game we're going to have right here on the Rough Rider Radio Network presented by Cooperators. It'll begin with our pregame show at least locally in Regina at 5 o'clock. The network picks up the pregame show at 7, I believe, and the kickoff just after 8 o'clock under the big top in BC. Lots of people to thank here as we're back with a preseason game. Our engineer Harley, his assistant Ryan Mishork, who's going to take over for Harley because Harley is leaving us full time anyway. Finally get a great engineer, and I like Bob too, don't get me wrong, but get a great engineer and Harley leaves and goes and buys an acreage and retires somewhere. But at least Ryan's going to be hanging out. Ryan Mishork doing a great job taking over here. Maybe I'll coax Harley to come. He'll probably want to come back for the Labor Day game. He knows nothing about sports. He was yelling in the booth, "Go sports." That's our engineer, but he knows equipment, so that's good. Got to give a shout out to our program director, Abby White, for helping out and orchestrate things behind the scenes as I try to navigate this billboard we call a radio broadcast. Also, and he ran and got me coffee to keep my voice till the end of the game. Thanks to my color commentator, Luke Molitor, Daniela Ponticelli, Don Hewitt and Wes Cates, Eddie Steele, Jeff Fairholm, John Ryan on our pregame show, as we have some mainstays on this broadcast this year. Also, want to thank Ryan McNally upstairs for doing a great job operating in the home booth. Hold on a second. What's his wife's name? And his wife, or wife-to-be, if he plays his cards right, his fiance Stephanie, in the visitor Winnipeg booth. But you never know. There's a lot of hot radio guys in the CFL. You never know. She might ditch you, Ryan. Good job, Ryan. I appreciate it. And Sean Kleisinger back at the station. He is the glue that keeps it all together on the broadcast. And then he gets replaced in the fourth quarter for the postgame show by Colson Schultz. So we have a great group in behind the scenes. All right. Want to thank our network affiliates. I hope I get this right because I left it upstairs. GX94 Yorkton, 96.3 Cruise FM Saskatoon, Saskatchewan's Country, 900 CKBI in Prince Albert, 102.3 FM, that's CJNS Meadow Lake, CJNB, which is 1050 AM on your dial in North Battleford, 750 Beaches Radio in Melfort, and your flagship station for CFL and Saskatchewan Rough Riders football across the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network is 620 CKRM. A reminder tomorrow, if you don't get into the call-in show tonight, we can break it down with you tomorrow. Everybody's like, "Ballsy, you're not doing the call-in show anymore." No, I'm not. Daniela's going to do that. I'm going to listen to her going home, but you can still call in tomorrow because I do a thing called the Sports Cage from 4 to 6:30, so make sure you do it. I think we just barely outscored the West Final of the NHL tonight. It was 8-6 for the Colorado Avalanche over the Edmonton Oilers. We'll talk about that with Bob Stauffer of the Oilers. And we'll break this game down to our final score once again from Mosaic Stadium. First preseason game in 3 years. Your Rough Riders lose to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, 25-16. For everybody involved, I'm Michael Ball saying so long. We'll talk to you tomorrow.